Welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 10, and we're going to pick up with verse 33 of chapter 10. Then Horam, the king of Gezer, came up to Lachish, and Joshua smote him and all his and his people until he had left none remaining.
Here you understand that Joshua's on this military campaign where he's taking the nation of Israel in to the promised land. I was looking at some things today, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Joshua was the head of the tribe of Ephraim when the 12 spies went in to spy out the land. Remember Numbers 13. Now, the Bible does not give a specific age, but Caleb was 40 years old. We do know that from the scriptures. And we know that probably Joshua was somewhere around the same age. He's the head of Ephraim, which would be dealing with military. In other words, he's a commander in the military leading the Ephraim armies. Okay. We know that he wandered into the wilderness with the rest of them for 40 years. We also know that he was the leader of the army. Remember when Moses, when they fought against them, the Amalekites and Aaron and Hur had to hold Moses' hands, that Joshua was the one leading the army at that time. And so if he was 40 years old when he spied out the land and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, then he would have been somewhere around 80 years old when he took over the leadership succeeding Moses to take them into the promised land. And he was leading them into battle. You understand? And we often will talk about Caleb. We'll see this here in Joshua, how he said, you know, I was 40 years old when we spied the land. I'm 85 today. I'm just as strong at 85 to go in and out of the battle as I was then. And so Joshua's doing right well, you understand. And you need to, I think it's good to realize that, because so often people put way too much emphasis on age and not purpose. God had a purpose for Joshua. And so he needed a mature person, obviously. He needed someone who knew what they were doing and someone dedicated to God. And this was the man to follow Moses. And so here he is leading in these military campaigns. And we're going to look at these various campaigns that it's believed that once they engaged Jericho, until the time that Joshua suppressed, if you will, the land of Cana, and they had rest, was it appears to be about 7 years, is what most people think. So you're looking at a 7-year military campaign. And another thing to appreciate about this is the armies of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh are there with them until this campaign is completed. Now, that doesn't mean they took all of the promised land. They defeated these major armies and all that, and then it was up to each individual tribe who had not already gained their possession to drive out any remaining inhabitants in that land. And Joshua was rebuking them for not doing it. Okay? So what I'm saying in all this is he wasn't a 21-year-old soldier, you understand. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that fact.
And from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword. and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein.
If you notice this, he is fulfilling the word of God, the word that God gave to Moses. Now when he goes in to these cities and takes these cities and defeats these armies, he leaves no survivors. And that's exactly what God told him to do. Out of the seven nations, there were not to be survivors out of these seven nations, to utterly destroy them. And Joshua is holding true to course and doing exactly what God told him to do.
And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah, and to her king. Let me keep going. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all the kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal.
And the thing that, here again, I want to reiterate, is Joshua led his army throughout the land. All these military battles, Joshua is leading them from one place to another place to another place, utterly destroying the enemy. And once he's accomplished this, then he goes back. They still have their camp set up at Gilgal, where they set up camp after they crossed the Jordan River. And so that's their home base. While they're doing their campaigns in different cities, they may have camps set up temporary. But the home base camp is Gilgal. And after he does this, he returns to Gilgal, fully obeying God.
Chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, the king of Madon, to the king of Zimran, and to the king of Aksath, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains south of Cinnereth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, and on the west to the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah.
Now, you look at the allied armies coming, being assembled together to fight against Israel. These are nations that Israel was to utterly destroy. And so these kings are all coming together as allies to come against the Israelis' army, the multitude. Okay, if you want to keep reading.
And they went out, and they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all the kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel.
So here they've all come together, a tremendous army, you understand, and with the horses and chariots. Chariots was a major thing, you know, they were harder to defeat than just footmen or infantry, you follow me? And so they have, I guess, their latest equipment and all with them when they engage. And it could be intimidating when you see that you're extremely outnumbered and there are sophisticated weapons that you're going against. But God speaks to Joshua concerning this.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them all slain before Israel. Thou shalt huff their horses and burn their chariots with fire.
Now, this is pretty incredible to me. God says, tomorrow, I'm going to deliver this whole host to you. Every one of them will be killed. I mean, that's a pretty tremendous battle, you understand. And he's, you can keep the horses, but you're to hamstring the horses, burn their chariots. Which is interesting because God is not wanting Israel to depend upon natural weapons to go against enemies. He's wanting the Israelites to depend upon him. You would think, let's capture these chariots and then we take them into our army and build our military and all that. God says, no, burn them.
So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom, suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them, and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Mizre-Photh-Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them, until they left them none remaining.
No survivors. Was God good for his word? Absolutely.
And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He huffed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire.
So you have to think of it this way. These armies from these various cities and all have come out to fight. They defeat the army, totally annihilate the army. Then they go to the cities that they possess. Then they kill the inhabitants of the city, and they take the land. You understand? A city at a time, a city at a time. Which is a principle that we need to learn, is we take territory a little at a time. And people think we just overwhelm and take everything all at one time. God doesn't operate that way. He wants you to do this before you do that. But if you'll do this, then you'll be able to do that. And you progress, we grow. You grow in confidence in the Lord. You understand? And so they're on a major conquest, and they're not defeated, you understand?
And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take, and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn.
Now, think about this to try to get things in perspective. You go in, you utterly destroy a city. Everything in that city then belongs to you. You just think about this city, small city. But you think about the possessions in this city. And so these armies are gathering all these possessions. You're talking about God blessing them materially. Also, the houses and the buildings and all that, they're not burning every city. You understand? And so it's giving them places to live, houses that they didn't build, eating crops they didn't plant, just like God had told Moses. And this, if you really sit back and look at this, it's absolutely miraculous what they're doing. It just shows you that it's not just a military strength, but it's a supernatural intervention, divine intervention by God that's enabling them to defeat armies greater than they are.
And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. Neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses.
Now that's something, isn't it? He left nothing undone. Now what you see here, when you're looking at verses 16, 17, if you read, let's go ahead and read those.
So Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took, and smote them, and Joshua slew them.
So all these has come out against him. This Israeli army took the entire land. You understand? All these cities, these kings were killed. In other words, they're totally wiped out. And then all those possessions are coming to the nation of Israel. They're being blessed, prosperous. Just exactly like the Lord said.
Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly. And that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses.
And so it says he waged war for a long time. And it's believed that this campaign was around 7 years, something like that. And he didn't leave anyone leaving except for the Gibeonite deal. Now it says nobody tried to make a peace treaty with him. Everybody was out trying to fight him. Of course, he wasn't to make peace with them anyway. They're all defeated in battle. Now, here's what you have to look at, because this can be misunderstood. It says the Lord put it in their hearts to fight against Israel, not to try to negotiate. Now, understand that these people are being judged by God and driven out of their land because of their sin. You understand? And so God hardening their heart is just to execute his judgment on them for what they've already done, and they are an unrepentant people, you understand? And so it's not that God is not just, God's not fair. It's the judgment of God is poured out. In other words, their cup is full, so to speak. And so God is pouring the judgment out on them through battle. Something to understand here is this is how God often works in executing judgment on a nation. He would use another nation to war against that nation to bring about a defeat of that nation. You see that all with the Israelites. God allowed, for instance, the Assyrians to take Israel because of Israel's rebellion against God. He allowed the Babylonians to take Judah because of their rebellion against God. And when I say take, I'm talking about driving them out of their land. Okay? And it's the judgment of God, and that judgment's being executed by men. God is using the Assyrian army, the Babylonian army, or whatever army, as his sword. He's using them to bring about his will and his purpose. I believe the same thing still holds true today. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That God still executes judgment through other nations and wars and this type of thing.
And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, in Ashdod there remaineth.
Now, when it says Joshua, just think of it as the leader, not him killing every one of these giants, so to speak, okay? But it's his army. He's leading this army against the Anakims. Remember, that's the giants that they were so afraid of. Well, we know from some detail that Caleb was actually the one that took that territory. Because he told Joshua, we'll read this later, Moses said, I could have the land that I walked on. That's the land I walked on. Give me the mountain where these giants live, where these Anakims live. And so then that army of Judah, which Caleb's a leader, you understand, then they're driving it out, but it's under the chief of staff, okay? It's under the commander-in-chief of the nation, who would be Joshua. That's why it says Joshua did this, okay? He's still leading the armies and telling them what to do.
So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war.
Now this is a sort of a summary here, okay, because we're going to get detail in the following chapters, okay? And so the summary is that Joshua, under Joshua's leadership, the Israelites took all the land that God had promised Moses, and under Joshua's leadership, he divided this land among the tribes after the land had rested from war. And it just goes to show the faithfulness of God. And what we need to see under this is not only the faithfulness of God, but the obedience of man and the success of man when he obeys God. God will do his part, but we have a part that we have to do. God gave the Israelites the land, but the Israelites had to drive the enemy out of the land. Well, God gives us land, so to speak, but we have to drive the enemy out of the land. We can't be thinking of we can't do this, we can't do that, the enemy's stronger than us and all that. If God has put something in your heart, then you can do it. You just cooperate with God and depend on his strength rather than your strength and watch God do miraculous things through you.
Chapter 12. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east.
Now here we're going to go back and get detail. This is talking about the land they took east of Jordan under Moses' leadership. And so he's telling you the territory that they took along with the kings, okay? And so just read to the Kittard. Now, just go ahead and read all this.
He said so, I was tired.
I gave you an out, didn't I? Okay.
Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. And from the plain to the sea of Cinnereth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshemoth, and from the south, under Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtoreth, and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salca, and in Bashan, unto the border of the Jeshurites, and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, and the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses the servant of the Lord and the children of Israel smite. And Moses the servant of the Lord gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh.
Okay, I'll let you take a break, all right?
Thank you.
So what you're seeing here is two major kings, with Sihon, the king of Heshbon of the Amorites. And then it tells all when he came out to fight against them and how Israel destroyed him, his armies, and took all their land. And it tells you the land that they possessed on the east side of Jordan. And then of Og, who was another formidable king of Bashan, and he was of the giants, okay? And they take his land, and it tells you all these cities that they're taking from him, the territory over which he ruled, how God had given all this territory to the nation of Israel east of Jordan. That's a bonus. See, what God had promised them was the promised land on the west side of Jordan, but because they were opposed by the enemy, then God gave them the enemy's land east side of Jordan as well. So Israel's territory then is on both east and west sides of Jordan. Pretty good, then.
Yeah. Verse 7. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions.
So the previous things Moses gave as far as inheritance. Now we're looking at the conquest. And here, again, this is a general term. This is not detailed out. Later on, you can get the detail, okay? But this is just telling you basically the boundary that Joshua takes with his army on the west side of the Jordan River. And then this land is divided among the remaining tribes of Israel.
In the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won, the king of Jerusalem won, the king of Hebron won, the king of Jarmuth won, the king of Lachish won, the king of Eglon won, the king of Jezer won, the king of Debir won, the king of Jeter won, the king of Hormah won, the king of Arad won, the king of Libna won, the king of Adullam won, the king of Makeda won, the king of Bethel won, the king of Tapua won, the king of Hefer won, the king of Aphek won, the king of Lasharon won, the king of Madon won, the king of Hazer won, the king of Shimron Miron won, the king of Aksaph won, the king of Taanak won, the king of Megiddo won, the king of Kedesh won, the king of Jokneam of Carmel won, the king of Dor and the coast of Dor, one. The king of the nations of Gilgal, one. The king of Tirzah, one. All the kings, 30 and 1.
So this is 31 kings that they defeated in this campaign and took all their territory away from them because there's nothing left. And so they're taking this, note it, a city at a time. They defeat this city, they go to the next city, they go to the next city, they go to the next city. This should be something that would encourage you. And here's the thing that I see in this. When you get this victory, it builds your confidence. You get this victory, you get this victory, and you get this victory. You say, boy, God meant what he said. God's with us. God is fighting for us. And so then you it's like it's easier to exercise your faith in God rather than looking at the enemy and fearing the enemy. You say, we're going to battle to win. We're not going to battle to lose. We're not going to battle to be defeated. But we're going to take these cities. We're going to take the territory that God's given us. Positive mindset, you understand?
Chapter 13. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Jeshurun, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites, and the Ashdothites, and the Eshkolanites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Medera, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal-Gad under Mount Hermon, unto the entering of Hamath.
A lot of ites there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, this territory, now, I want you to think about this. Joshua, God says here that he's old, which he has accomplished his mission as far as the battle strategies and conquest. Now, this is an interesting sort of change of guard, if you will. Where Joshua has been the leader of the armies, obviously with generals, if I can say it that way, operating under him of these various tribes. Now it's up to each one of the tribes, their leadership, to take the territory. Joshua said, all right, we're going to give this tribe this territory. Now go take it. The responsibility is on you now, not on me. I've done my part, now you have to do your part. You're with me? And what's interesting about this is, you know, where Moses had said, you know, don't leave the Israelites as sheep without a shepherd, you understand? Here wandering around in the wilderness, all that, give them a leader. Joshua, God says, is to be their leader. Joshua is there, appointed by God, to take them into the land, to possess the land. Then once that's done, his mission is accomplished. Now the individual tribes are responsible for following God and taking the territory that God has given them. It's no longer one man over everything per se. You're responsible. As long as Joshua was alive, he was the one man over the nation. But we don't see a successor of Joshua. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And later on we find that Israel had judges that would give them the counsel of God. That's what a judge is given the judgment of God. And sometimes that judgment of God would be God's judgment executed against the enemy that was oppressing the Israelites. And that's, we'll get to that when we get into Judges, okay?
Verse 6. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephoth-Maim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee.
Okay. We'll stop right there, and we'll take our break, and we'll come back. You get to take a break here, okay? You can review this. And we'll pick back up with this after break.